You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, July 1, 2025. Thank you for downloading and welcome to the wonderful month of July as we head towards the 4th of July. Just you and me today. It's going to be a quick podcast. We got Scott and Solly at the end of the week. We will do our annual, actually biannual, no, semi-annual. Yeah, semi-annual 4th of July versus Thanksgiving tale of the tape. That'll be on Thursday into Friday. I don't know who's going to be listening to podcasts. You may have some driving to do for 4th of July. So there'll be 4 episodes this week. This is episode 2 out of 4. And yes, I'm giving myself a day off for our nation's holiday, our nation's birthday, as it were. So, wow, wow, whoa, 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 whoopsie. As Borat would say, wah, wah, woozy. What does he say exactly? This is my wife. The NFL has a blockbuster trade out of the blue on a Monday. The Steelers trade all-pro safety Minka Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins for perennially disgruntled and sometimes hurt Jalen Ramsey, who's now 30, an elite cornerback when he's right and when he's motivated, along with Jonnu Smith, who is coming off a career year. Somewhere, my friend Paul Charchian is smiling. Jonnu, my Jonnu. Jonnu Smith coming off a career year in which he caught 88 passes for 800 yards, but was mostly mediocre except for one other season before that in which guys like Charch fell in love with him. Jonnu, my Jonnu. The Dolphins were looking to get out of a whoops, way too lucrative contract for Jalen Ramsey, and they found a willing taker in the Steelers. Now, it's interesting that they've got a one-year quarterback. They've now taken on a 30-year-old corner who is due $26 million. And they're changing their offensive scheme to fit a more passing-oriented attack. And they're going to pull this off in 1 year to contend in 1 year, because Rodgers already says this is probably going to be it. Of course, they already have a good tight end in Freiermuth, so who knows how much action Jonnu will get, but this seems to be a good deal for the Dolphins. I am more on the Dolphins side on this than I would be on the Steelers side of this, but then again, the Steelers side of it is colored by the fact that what are they doing? How long are they actually going for a run to get back to the Super Bowl and win it? I mean, they signed DK Metcalf for a ton of money. Rodgers comes in late because he didn't want to go to mini camps and all that. Now they acquire Jalen Ramsey. And I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens. But if I'm a Steeler fan, I'll put it this way. I don't like it. To the WNBA, because I know you people love WNBA stuff. I only bring up the WNBA when there is stuff that is so crazy and out of phase that it deserves comment. And here we got it. You ready? All-star voting for the WNBA All-Star Game is now running at like 1.29 million votes for Caitlin Clark. By comparison, prior to Caitlin Clark coming into the league, every player that if you added their votes up on both teams barely totaled 1.2 million people bothering to vote for the WNBA All-Star Game. Caitlin Clark is the league right now. So, are they warming up to her? Are the gals in the W warming? No, not in the least. While Clark is leading the All-Star voting by a mile, 2 miles in the fan voting, guess where she finished in the player voting? 9th. Well, that's kind of low, Zay, but, you know, I mean, there's a lot of players. There's, you know, there's forwards and centers. And No. 9th amongst guards. Clark was first in the fan voting, 9th in the players voting, and 3rd in the media voting for guards alone. Now, I made the mistake of going to the WNBA's website. And I just thought, okay, let me just go look at the stat grid, season leaders, click. And I start with points per game. So I go to the drop-down menu, I hit points, and then I hit run it. And it gives me the points, and I can see them. Nafisa Collier leading the league at 24.4, Asia Wilson 21.6. And I'm scrolling down, Diggins, Mitchell, Sykes, Ionescu, Beckers, Young, Ogwumike, Ogwumbali, Howard, Hamby, Boston, McBride, Mabry, Citron, Thornton, I'm looking around. I'm now down to the teens. I'm like, I think Caitlin Clark averages more points than this. All right, let me go up to the other stats category, and let me just go assists. Okay, boom. Assists. Oh, there she is, Caitlin Clark, 2nd in assists. Averaging almost 9 dimes a game, 2nd only to Alyssa Thomas. And then I say, okay, well, now that I'm seeing Caitlin Clark show up, I look over at the points column, and she's averaging 18 points per game. So I then click back on the points category, and I go, okay, 18 points a game. Let me scroll down. Where is she in the list? And then I think, oh, maybe she doesn't qualify because she's only played 9 games. She played 9 games. I think the most games I've seen amongst WNBA players is 18. So maybe she doesn't qualify. But then why would she qualify in assists and rank 2nd? I then decide, okay, well, let me see where she is in terms of 3-point shooting. And I go to click on the header of the grid of the stats that has all the numbers on it, just like you do on any other website that puts stats out for sports teams and leagues, because that's the easy way to do it. Forget your drop-down menus. Just make the grid clickable. Okay, click 3-point percent. Wait, it's not clicking. There's no link here. Okay, son of a bitch. All right, let me go back up to the top. Stat category, drop-down menu. Min, O-Reb, D-Reb, Reb, Ast, Stil, Blick, Tav, F, and Pts. There's no three-point I'm like, I can't sort by three-point shooting? It's ridiculous. This league, which has a player so transcendentally loved by fans, that is raising everyone's profile, putting the WNBA further up the rundown blocks on SportsCenter every single night. A league that is adding two more franchises. Someone's got to explain to me. So wait a minute. You've never made money with this league. Nope. Lost money every year for 20 years. Okay, so will two more teams maybe turn it around? Nope. We're just going to keep on adding them. And the notion that, okay, maybe they were giving Caitlin Clark the rookie hazing last year, but it's going to calm down. She'll be accepted. She'll be one of the gals. No, she's never going to be one of the gals. That's abundantly clear. Too white, too straight, too popular, don't like her. And so she got voted the ninth best guard in the league. Preposterous. And the WNBA's IT department, fix your fucking website, for God's sakes. It should not be this hard. Print a grid of stats that says leaders, and then make every category on the grid clickable and sortable, and make sure to have very clear markings of, here is the official cutoff for, we don't rank players if they haven't played more than X number of games or X number of potential minutes or anything else. Dateline nightmare fuel. I have not been on a cruise before. I don't know if I ever will. My general hunch is nah to hell nah. But I hear people say, oh no, I take them all the time. You pick the right cruise line. You pick the right price point. So it's not a bunch of rabble-rousers and rednecks on that cruise. Guess what? You're just fine. Doesn't really appeal to me, but okay, fine. There has been a long-standing, I don't want to call it a conspiracy, but a theme by one of my former colleagues, Kevin Sheehan, that when somebody falls off a cruise ship out in the open ocean, which is almost always an instant death sentence, if you even survive the fall to begin with and then quickly drown or eaten by sharks, or you know, you become such a tiny speck so quickly that even if somebody sees you fall off, good luck for them saving you. They do have a way to deploy a rescue boat off the side of the ship with trained personnel to try to come fish somebody out, but I don't know what the successful rate is of saves. Sheehan's whole thing was, hey, when somebody falls overboard on a cruise, the cruise quietly, pays everybody off so that they won't say, hey, somebody just fell off the cruise and died. Sheehan swears by it. We'd always kind of laugh at him like, come on, man, that's not what happens. I don't know what does happen, but I know this. This is nightmare fuel for any parent. Headline. Cruise ship rescues father who jumps overboard after five-year-old daughter falls off cruise ship. A Disney cruise to the Bahamas ended with a terrifying twist over the weekend as a young girl fell overboard and her father leapt in to save her. The incident occurred aboard the Disney Dream off the port of Fort Lauderdale on Sunday. Ship was just returning from a four-night cruise to the Bahamas. Dramatic footage shows the rescue crew from the Disney Dream using a small yellow boat to pull the pair from the water. Videos of the rescue have garnered hundreds of views on social media. Another passenger wrote in a Disney Dream cruise ship group on Facebook that the girl fell from the fourth deck and her dad went in after her. I would hope, I would guess, I would imagine that I, as a father, wouldn't think, wouldn't blink, would jump right in after my daughter. Or after my wife. Although let's hope we were not fighting when it happened. Of course, there's also cases of couples where, you know, the husband thinks, hey, you know what? I'm really sick of this woman. Would love to be done with her and not have to pay her half. Why don't we go on a cruise, honey? Oh, let's go take some air back on the Lido deck here and just see. Ah! But man, I don't even like to think about that. Dateline legal ease. There's a bunch of legal things I want to weigh in on here because I know that we are a law podcast and you guys love it when the sports guy talks law. But let me first get some listener feedback. This email from Chance Parker, he says, Zabe, I was catching up on your various podcasts over the weekend. I wanted to share some thoughts. One, let's start with your discussion about the good old zipper merge. Look, I agree with you that it's the best solution for merging, at least on paper. But like another controversial traffic management innovation, the roundabout, it simply befuddles many people who just cannot accept it. By the way, I'm a fan of the roundabout as well. I think I know why. What Butchie and others get all humped up about is people speeding by in the left lane, or the right lane, depending on which lane is closed, while they all dutifully wait in the right lane, having already merged, or as I like to call it, pre-merging. What they don't realize is that if everyone followed the intent of the zipper merge, there wouldn't be a wide open lane for people to speed by in. Instead, there would be two completely full lanes, both moving at the same speed, then merging one lane after the other. This is a case where driving politely can cause more problems than it solves. Got another email from somebody who sent a story that was written about how different states have greatly varying zipper merge policies or recommendations. New Mexico has signs on the side of the highway that says, use both lanes, merge at the end. Other states do the opposite, warning people, hey, lane closed, merge now. Part of the problem, the biggest part of the problem is the people who merge dutifully right away pay a higher price for their time than somebody who merges much later down the road. And that causes great jealousy and or FOMO and or whatever you want to call it. And so there then becomes the pissing matches and the people that straddle the center lane. I call them merge heroes. Oh, you're a merge hero, huh? Look at you. You're trying to block somebody from passing. Okay, great. Others have said that the studies that claim that zipper merging is faster have been purely simulations, computer simulations, not real-world evidence that says, yes, humans know how to zipper merge and can do it faster than actually pre-merging. It does become an etiquette thing. I'm always fascinated by, we think there's a certain way that's got to be faster. Like, I always thought, why don't airplanes board from the rear first? Wouldn't that be the fastest way? Now calling rows 25 through 30. Rows 25 through 30. Doesn't work that way. They've tried it a bunch of different ways. Apparently, one of the fastest ways to get on a plane or to load a plane, according to various real-life studies with real human beings trying to get, well, they're not really on a flight, but they are trying to get their stuff on board, real humans, is a convoluted, like, aisle and windows first and then middles, or some weird combination that's totally counterintuitive. So I don't know if zipper merging is just a fantasy that only works in computer simulations, or if that article about how it's bunk is bunk itself. I know this. People are just going to get pissed off. As far as roundabouts go, slow down, people. Stay calm. And when there's a spot, merge on in. Just get yourself in there and go around the circle. If you miss your turn, no big deal. Stay calm. You're just one little loop around the circle again to be able to get out of it. Don't panic. Easier said than done for some people. Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Now, on to the NFL collusion case. My man Chance Parker says, I think there's no question that the NFLPA should have made a much bigger deal about the actual ruling. On that, we can agree. But where I completely disagree is regarding the text thread between Dean Spanos and Michael Bidwell being blatant collusion. Your words. Collusion requires two parties to proactively agree or conspire to do something. That sounds probably correct. I'm not a lawyer. Maybe Chance is. It simply, that text thread doesn't show any kind of proactive agreement. It simply shows that Bidwell was proud of the fact that they limited the guaranteed money, as any smart owner would be, and that Spanos was thankful because the precedent would help them with their next contract. Yes, they were both in favor of limiting guaranteed money, but they absolutely did not collude to do so. As always, hope you're well, Chance Parker. I responded by saying, well, then the bar for actual punitive collusion is so high, nobody would ever go over it unless they're really, really, really stupid. To which Chance Parker said, and yet they do. There are cases. He might be right on this one. As I think about it now, even though it's clear the NFL Management Council put out a memo saying, hey, you should probably not give out guaranteed money, and teams are actively communicating with each other and bragging about, hey, we didn't give out guaranteed money. Way to go. Glad to hear it. That's dirty. That's collusive-ish. But is it actual collusion? It might not be. Maybe for actual collusion, you have to have Bidwell tell Spanos, okay, I need you to not give Kyler Murray guaranteed money because I'm not going to give it to Justin Herbert. And then the other guy saying, okay, if you do it, I'll do it. Here we go. And then both players not getting guaranteed money. I guess then they would have true collusion. But, gee, how dumb would you have to be? So maybe it's a high bar that sometimes idiots do get over. But otherwise, it's pretty hard to prevent owners who are billionaires from pretty much going, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, he's a goa. Right? Okay. Sort of like when they had the uncapped year. George Allen for the Redskins. Bruce Allen for the Redskins, the GM, tried to bury a bunch of bad dead contracts, including D'Angelo Hall's, and I believe Albert Haynesworth's leftover money, bury it in the uncapped year at the end of the CBA. And I'm like, yeah, that's smart. Then the NFL said, yeah, no, you can't do that. And the Redskins were like, why? They go, because, well, we never meant for the uncapped year to be used that way. Well, is that in writing? And the league just said, no, that's, we're just not going to allow it. And because Snyder and the Redskins didn't want to take on the league, they just had to eat it. They didn't have to worry about a court weighing in to go, no, you're allowed to do that. That was kept in house. The Diddy trial has gone to jury. I followed almost none of this, partly because I've already accepted the fact that Diddy is a complete degenerate and a scumbag, and I'm sure did lots and lots of very bad things, some of which may in fact be illegal. But the trial seems to not be going very well for the prosecution because they already trimmed back the number of charges they wanted considered by the jury. They still have a bunch of things they say they can get them on, but I'm getting the sense that no, nothing's going to happen, that he's going to beat the rap on this. And if he does, if he does, just wait for the comeback tour. He'll be bigger than ever, larger than life. And I have not watched any of the trial. I've not read anything about the trial. So maybe the state has not made their case. Maybe just buying baby oil and lube in bulk at Costco is not illegal. Or having freak-off parties is not illegal, as long as you didn't actually sex traffic or engage in actual prostitution. But there's already a problem with one of the jurors, because the jury has sent the judge a note going, hey, we got this one guy who's a problem. He's pretty much not going to follow your instructions as the judge in this case to follow through. Juror 25 is a 51-year-old Hispanic man with a PhD in molecular biology and neuroscience. Talk about being overqualified for a Diddy trial. This guy is. He was apparently refusing to follow the judge's instructions. The jury sent the note to the judge. Judge said, well, you just started deliberating today, Monday, so why don't you keep at it? Let's just see how this goes. 4th of July weekend's coming up. You think that jury wants to burn their 4th of July sequestered, arguing over Diddy's guilt or innocence? I'm pretty sure a verdict has got to come sometime before Thursday or Friday at the latest. Then there's the case in Idaho. Of this, well, there's two things in Idaho. One is the absolute sociopath that lit a huge brush fire and started sniping firefighters, killing two, wounding 11. Unbelievable horror show of a story of a guy who's apparently dead now, but hell is too good for him. Then there was the case of the Idaho quadruple murder, I guess it would be. Brian Koberger, who slaughtered in their sleep four co-eds from the University of Idaho while they slept in a snowy little house that he had no connection to, was driving around, this guy. He was a PhD in criminology, and they say might have wanted to impress a former teacher who was a woman. Crazy eyes on this guy, and did the unthinkable, going into a house full of co-eds, stabbing to death four of them while they slept, leaving two that survived, and they must have unbelievable trauma. This asshole was just spared the death chamber, just spared the death penalty, because he agreed to drop all right to appeal and is going to serve four consecutive life sentences with no chance for parole in exchange for not going, you know, facing the death penalty. His trial is about to begin. Some of the families apparently said, yes, this is better. This will end it. He's never getting out again. Who knows? Somebody will probably shank him in prison. Let's take it. Best we can do and move on with our lives, as shattered as they are. Several, though, of the parents are like, are you kidding me? You didn't ask us. They said they consulted the available family members to say, do you want to accept this offer, or should we as the prosecution accept the offer? They talked to the available family members. They didn't talk to all of them. And I can imagine how some of the family members would say, no, we've come this far legally, and we want to press for the death penalty. Who cares how many appeals he might file? Who cares how many years it might take? Who cares if the governor ends up sparing him the actual death penalty? I don't know what the policy is in Idaho. But I can see their point, that they would want to see justice fully brought to this unbelievable psychopath. I don't get it. Sometimes these cases, you just scratch your head and you wonder. Dateline, mazel, mazel. Good things. So Jordan Love got married over the weekend to his beautiful bride, Ronica Stone. That's Ronica without the ver on the front, R-O-N-I-K-A. She was a volleyball player in college at Utah State, I believe, where Jordan Love is from. Jordan Love, Ronica Stone, wedding. Ronica Stone, hold on a second. Volleyball. I'd like to get these facts ahead of time, but I don't want to. She played volleyball in college. Either way, they are a beautiful couple, athletic couple, both very tall, very happy. They did something really weird. They got married in front of friends and family. I know. With a band that played music, and they danced, and they celebrated, and they had drinks, and they had a nice dinner, catered dinner, didn't even have to cook out themselves. Wow, what a thing to do. Not everybody does that. Some people elope. They just go down to the courthouse, and they just want to get married because they don't want all the expense and the drama. I get that, but as we know, Aaron Rodgers, oh yeah, he got married, maybe. Didn't say he got married. He just said it was about 3 months ago after someone said, is that a wedding ring on your finger? And he's like, yeah, about 3 months ago. No one's ever seen his wife. David Bakhtiari, who used to be besties, I mean besties, as the left tackle for Aaron Rodgers, joked because he was at Jordan Love's wedding because he did block for Jordan Love briefly as he first became a starter before Bakhtiari's knee finally acted up one more time and he was done. He said, well, at least I got to go to one of my quarterback's weddings. Oh, no, you didn't. Hard to tell if that's real shade or just ball busting amongst longtime friends. Who knows if Rodgers texted Bakhtiari on the side and said, you dick. Come on, man. Why do you got to do that? But it was pretty funny to see. Does it matter how high you can jump if you're in the NBA? Well, yeah, Zabe, duh. I mean, certainly it's got to matter, right? Well, apparently Johnny Broome of Auburn, who was selected by the Sixers, who was the player of the year in college basketball, had a viral video of him doing the vertical at the combine, and it was some weak sauce. Nobody confused Johnny Broome with being a high flyer in college. He was an angles guy, a touch guy, uses his body, box out, get rebounds guy. Great for college basketball, but does it translate to the pros? Maybe, maybe not. But his vertical looked really, really weak. Now, the funny thing is, just days before I saw this, I somehow hooked into what I guess was the National Vertical Jump Championship. And it had two guys who were in the finals jumping off against each other with verticals of over 50 inches. Oh my God. It was two guys whose name I've forgotten, and they're basketball players, but they're not of any note. They're not in the NBA. They're not college stars. They just have sick hops. And they're jumping against each other, and they're doing the tap, the little flags thing on the vertical jump gauge thing. And it looks like they're flying. Like their legs are flopping in the air as they just keep going up and up and up like they're fish, basically, jumping out of the water. And you just watch. I'm watching it with, it was like a six-minute video, which is forever in social media time to stop your scrolling for 6 minutes and just watch. But I did. And it dawned on me, these guys might be okay-ish at basketball, but they're nowhere near good enough to play for money, because they're in this competition seeing who can jump higher. So there has got to be a balance between you're good at basketball but not much of a leaper versus you can jump out of the gym and you can kind of dribble a bit but you're not much of a player. Got to be a sweet spot somewhere in the middle. Then I'll end with this. There's some great mysteries in life that are of very small significance, if any significance, that have vexed me for some time, and I started to write them down so I could aggregate three or four of them to ask you, my dear listeners. So if you know the answer to any of these questions, which have been bothering me for a while now, please send them my way, and I'll make sure to read the email later on this week. Real mystery number one. When I hit my stopwatch on my Apple Watch, at some point, the display stops showing the tenths and the one hundredths of a second. In fact, I think once it gets to, say, 10 minutes, it stops even showing the seconds. It'll show dashes instead. It will not display the numbers actually cycling through. It takes me then raising or moving my wrist with the watch on it to kind of wake up the stopwatch to then get it to say, oh, yeah, okay, you wanted seconds? Okay, okay, yeah, you want tenths of a second? Question, is this to save battery life somehow? Does it take a lot of either computing or display battery power to keep it going that way? Is there a setting I can change? Because I know you're saying, well, why do you need to see it actually stop watching through one hundredths of a second and tenths of a second as it goes up in time? Why does that even matter to you? Yeah, why? I'm asking. That's a good question. Don't ask why. I want it this way. And for some reason, someone designed it so that it sleeps on showing you that, and I have never found or heard a good answer. My hunch is it takes more power out of your battery life to display those numbers clicking upwards, which I don't see how it can. It has to calculate those numbers ticking by in real time internally, whether it shows dashes or numbers. Okay, I don't know. Question number two, eternal mysteries of life. I got mint chocolate chip ice cream the other day that was not green. It was the regular vanilla-looking mint chocolate chip that if you were to blindfold me, it would taste indistinguishable from green chocolate chip mint. I think. Now, I'm not sure about this, but I need an answer. Is green chocolate chip mint ice cream different tasting than regular, meaning vanilla-looking but minty-flavored? Is it a different actual formulation? Is it a different artificial formulation of the concept of, well, the green mint chip ice cream is even mintier than your so-called au naturel looking one? I've never had an explanation on that. I prefer the green mint chocolate chip, and I prefer Baskin Robbins only over every other mint chip ice cream because Baskin Robbins somehow shreds its mint chunks. It's chocolate chips into a bunch of shrapnel, basically infused throughout every square centimeter of that glorious, fattening ice cream. Real mystery number three. Is there any counter move for girls fighting to the hair pull? There was an absolute Donnybrook in Dallas the other day in which some bachelorettes out on the town looking all fine and gussied up in their skimpy little shiny dresses and their high heels, their hair done all nice and their purses all over. They got into a real fight on the street. And they were swinging at each other in their high heels and falling down like girls. And they were, of course, pulling hair. And it's dawned on me, okay, in any kind of combat, any kind of fighting, there's always at least a counter move of some sort for every move, right? And yet I don't seem to see it when it comes to the hair pull. So for ladies out there who's been in a, if there's any women listening to the podcast who've been in a scrap and have grabbed the hair, what is the counter move? Even, you know, Three Stooges would have a ton of counter moves where I believe Mo would go for the two-fingered eye poke. The counter move was Curly putting his hand up flat to his bridge of his nose like a shark fin and blocking the fingers, the tips of the fingers from reaching the eyeballs. Yeah, I'm on a ping. So there's got to be a counter move for that. Or is it just to somehow hurt the other girl so much that she has to let go of your hair in order to tend to whatever it is you're bashing in? Her face, her nose, her flapjacks, her ovary. I don't know. Whatever the case, there's got to be a good counter move. My question is, what is it? That'll do it for me today. Happy birthday, not birthday, but happy anniversary to the debut of one Bird Fidrich. That's right, the Bird, who was a sensation for the Detroit Tigers back in 1976. He made his debut on ABC's Monday Night Baseball 50 years ago, 76, right? Yeah, 76. Well, not, it wouldn't be even. It'd be, oh, okay. Now my math is all bad on this. June 28th, 1976. It was June 28th, 2025. So less than 50 years, but still coming up close to it. Mark the Bird Fidrich, an absolute sporting anomaly that if you don't know the story of him, definitely look him up. Watch some YouTube videos. He was something else. Complete weirdo freak, and for one hot summer, the hottest damn pitcher in Major League Baseball. That's it for me today. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review if you got a second. It helps, please, the algorithmic overlords. And as always, subscribe to the premium or subscriber edition of this podcast to support me and my efforts and to keep me energized and moving along. Scott and Sally are on the premium podcast, so it's like the good old days of the Fox Sports Radio turned Yahoo Sports Radio turned Sporting News Radio turned I forget what else it was before the end show that you knew and love. Just go to zabe.com/premium. You'll see how to subscribe there. Do it month to month for $5. That's all it is. Plus you get Monday through Friday ad-free. So that's nice. Got that going for you. And you get the podcast the night before instead of the next day. So if you want to download them before your flight, it's easier to do so. Thank you for everyone who does support me in that endeavor. That'll do it for me today. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time.
The love boat promises something for everyone. Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new romance. And love won't hurt anymore. It's an open smile on a friendly shore. It's love. Welcome aboard. It's love.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At MyBookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.